Hi, everyone. I'm Debbie Statler, Editor-in-Chief of Provider Magazine, the flagship publication of the American Healthcare Association and the National Center for Assisted Living. I'd like to welcome you to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care, a monthly podcast produced by ACA and NCAL. Each month, we'll talk with long-term care and assisted living professionals about the opportunities and challenges impacting the long-term and post-acute care profession. My guest today is Jennifer Thompson. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Jennifer is a healthcare executive, educator, public speaker, songwriter, and performer whose wide-ranging work explores senior living and aging. Her dedication to innovation for the well-being of older adults started her journey in healthcare in 1999. She currently provides leadership as the executive director at Eagle Point Senior Living. Jennifer, let's start at the beginning. Tell us how you began that journey in long-term care, and what was the path to bring you to where you are today?
The path actually was my husband. He is from Wisconsin, and so I am originally from Tennessee. So my path was actually going to be in singing and songwriting and then moved to Wisconsin because I married him. And it was a way for me to try to figure out what is it that I'm going to do. So when I moved to Wisconsin, I was a caregiver on the floor, worked the night shift, still doing some singing and songwriting, and then just really worked my way into healthcare and realized I had a great passion for it. And this is what I wanted to do. Then went back and got my master's degree in healthcare administration and then started my journey in healthcare.
That's awesome. What a great transition. I guess love really does impact a lot of areas in life.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Tell us about Eagle Point Senior Living. What sort of facility is it and what are some of the services offered?
Sure. So Eagle Point Senior Living, we're a continuum of care campus. We have independent, assisted, and memory care. So we have both the RCAC and the CDRF licensure. So we provide a wide array of services, independent living. They can build upon the services that they need. And then the assisted and memory care, of course, we provide the assistance that they need. And we bring it right to their doorstep. So someone can live with us and be independent living, and we provide all the services to them so they wouldn't need to continuously move on our campus.
That sounds great. Technology and innovation is what we want to talk about today. And that is a huge topic. So let's touch on some of the areas that specifically apply to long-term care. What is the latest technology in electronic medical records? How is that area changing?
Sure. So for me, when I started in healthcare, it really was that we had all of these binders, the 3 to 5 inch binders, and it was full of everyone's individual service record. And we had to read it and then commit it to memory and then go and try to provide the services and remember them. And then we were creating cheat sheets and cue cards and all of those type of things. Now it's really great to be able to have everything electronically. So our staff carry iPads, and loaded onto their iPad is the service record for each resident that they're caring for, as well as their medical, as well as their MAR, the medication administration record. So they have that ability to take all the information that they need right to the resident's apartment. So the services that they can provide more quickly, readily, and to the best of their ability.
That sounds a lot better than trying to memorize all the information on.
Definitely much better.
Yeah.
And it makes it that we don't have these large carts going around the community. It makes it more home-like. Everybody's medications are kept in their apartment. So it just has provided efficiency in many different ways.
Wearable technology is certainly having a moment. I'm a fan myself. I have my Android watch on right now, tracking my steps and heart rate. Yes. How is wearable technology being used in long-term care?
So the same type of thing that we actually have residents that have, it looks like a watch that reminds them of when to take their medications. So that is something that I had not seen before until recently. They also have the medic alerts that they'll wear. So those have been around for a period of time. But as far as anything wearing wise, the watch is what I've seen the most.
It certainly makes it easy to just put on and have it there right all day long. Yeah. So one of the big topics in technology in general in the world is artificial intelligence. And there's a lot of discussion of it, positive and negative. How is artificial intelligence being adapted to help seniors? Where is it popping up in terms of care?
Sure. So this is something that is new for us. Artificial intelligence is definitely continuing to open doors and horizons for us. We actually installed a new program into our memory care community with Safely You, and it is tracking residents and their falls. So we're able to see 10 minutes prior to and 10 minutes after, and it only records when the fall has occurred. So it's not recording continuously. I think that's one of the things that people have been afraid of, is there's always somebody watching. So there's not somebody at a computer watching the residents by any means, but it can track when a fall has occurred, and it can actually tell the difference between myself as a staff member and the resident, which is really cool. So I actually went into a resident's apartment and it could tell that I was not an older adult. So it did not track the fall. But what this has done for us as far as falls is, with the memory care residents, we would find them on the floor and we were sending them out to the hospital. And so there was unnecessary hospital visits. And as you can imagine, with people with dementia, that can be quite challenging. Coming from the environment, going into the hospital, and just creating a disturbance that was unnecessary. So we're able to see, did the resident fall? How did they fall? And can we work to prevent it from happening again? And it also prevented us from sending them out to the hospital unnecessarily. So we're able to see things that we had not seen before by using this artificial intelligence. We're able to see, what was the resident doing? How did this happen? And was it something, interestingly enough, we're finding residents are crawling on the ground, looking under their beds. So it's definitely, they're looking for items, but definitely not falling by any means.
That's so interesting that it really can make these differentiations between what's actually a fall and anything else that might look like a fall, look like the person that's there. That's really very clever. And I like that it gives you actionable insights so that you can see what happened, see if there's any response that you can have as a facility, see if they need to go to the hospital or not. That's just awesome innovation there. Virtual reality is another piece of technology that's getting some play in senior care. And I've heard some really heartwarming stories, things where, you know, someone has always wanted to visit Paris in their lifetime. And through the use of virtual reality, the facility was able to take them on a tour of Paris and fulfill that desire. So some really interesting uses as far as more activities and entertainment. Is that mostly where virtual reality is, or are there some applications in caregiving?
We have used virtual reality as a means to help see things through the eyes of somebody who has dementia. And we've done some additional things as far as glasses that would cause them to have like cataracts or things to that nature, so that they're able to see, this is what life looks like for someone with doing the other type of dementia reality tours as best we can. Virtual reality for staff members, haven't really used it in that means a whole lot, but we do use it quite a bit for residents as far as, you said, visiting their old home. You can use with Google Maps and they can actually see the homestead. It's unreal the places that you can take residents that they have not potentially been able to visit, or the things that they've always wanted to do but haven't been able to do.
That's so interesting. I like that, sort of unlocking some of the memories from the past by viewing where they used to live and places like that. Very interesting. Robots. We've heard good things about robots. We've heard bad things about robots. You know,
nobody wants to have a robot because they think it's going to take their job away. So I think that's like this fear, this stigma, something that's going to happen. So during COVID is when the use of robots started in healthcare for multiple reasons, right? There was workforce shortages and there was like lots of different things that were happening. Robots delivering mail, robots going to see residents that were maybe didn't have family members to visit with them. One of the things that we had, an 8-week grant that we had a robot come to our memory care community. And we used it for creative engagement. So we had a person that did the Alzheimer's poetry project, and he actually was presenting poetry through the robot and engaging the residents with this robot so that they could create poems and create stories together. We had a music therapist that would play the trumpet on the robot for the residents. So robot would come out at specific times and greet the residents and then be able to have all these different functions that were happening. So I love the use of robots. I also love the use of, there's robots that are dogs and cats. And I love the use of having a robot in that regard because it provides all of the same type of feelings that residents are needing without having to feed it or to take it out. So that has been great to be able to use robots for that.
That's a really good point. I have seen those robotic pets that really bring that joy without, exactly like you said, without the responsibilities and hassles. I love it. Tell us a fun story about using technology to make daily life better for seniors in your facility.
Sir, we are blessed to be part of a company that we have 32 different buildings, and we utilize what we call an Opticon, which is a large television, has a computer attached to it, and we do Zoom. So we do Zooming with our other communities. Each one of our communities builds a team. So we have residents that are part of this team that are competing against residents at another community. And so we have created four competitions that occur each year, one each quarter. And the first competition every year is the triathlon. So we have residents that run and they swim and they bike and they're competing against other communities. And so you can see all of these seniors, like they're, you have them on screen and you're watching them just give it their all. Some are doing with this arm crank, some are doing one rotation, two rotations. And then you have people that are getting on this arm crank and you can see them like 30, 40, 50, just arm rotations. It is so great to see the camaraderie of people cheering each other on, the camaraderie of staff coming to cheer the residents on, everybody trying to perform better than they had the time prior. So it's created this spirit of competition, one community against another, but it also is, it's done these incredible internal things of residents creating better strength, purpose, and belonging. And you can see them like belonging as a team, but belonging to the community. They have gotten into making t-shirts. And so we have team t-shirts. And every time that we're competing, we're wearing our purple t-shirt. It has taken on a life of its own, but it's amazing to use technology for that purpose of really being able to meet people that are in other senior communities that are going through the same things that we're going through, using competition and these team sports to actually build across the miles and build teamwork within our own community.
That is so fun. I love it. That's like technology at its best. So you're communicating and interacting and closing the distance and really bringing joy to folks that are participating in that. That just sounds like the best. I know that technology is not all fun triathlon competitions. So how do we encourage more adoption of technology, more innovative thinking, just that type of openness to use new technologies in long-term care?
Sure. I would say that for me and the amount of time that I've been in healthcare, I think that I've seen the use of technology just continue to get better and better. But we have to be more accepting of it. So I think as an executive director, there is always fear of if we implement this, then there's the risk of this and there's the safety risk of this. And then there's this that could occur. And I think that just having that open mind, of course, when residents were saying we're going to have a triathlon and we're competing, right? They're like, are you crazy? I'm an older adult. This is never going to happen. Or we close our minds off to an older adult could never use technology. I think that for me, like being in this type of setting, most of my residents are teaching me how to use my phone. So they're mastering iPhones, they're mastering iPads. We've had to do a technology boost in our building twice for the Wi-Fi because we provide free Wi-Fi to our residents, but the challenge is that they're all using it. And that's a great challenge to have. that they're using the technology, that they're streaming, they're using streaming devices for their televisions, for their computers. And so we have to adapt and be more okay with how changes are happening to support residents who are learning how to do things that we never thought that they would be able to do. I personally never thought that I would see an older adult living in our community using an iPhone. And it's happened, and they're using iPads. And then as COVID happened, it became much more acceptable. They were learning all these things that potentially they had not done previously. They were Zooming. They were doing FaceTime with their loved ones. And it's, wow, this is great. But then we as care providers have to learn to adapt and use the technology because our residents are.
Absolutely. And staff, do you have any tips for how to get staff to keep that open mind for adopting new technology and maybe even addressing fears, like you mentioned, fear that a robot is going to take their job or that artificial intelligence is going to take over? How do you allay those fears?
Sure. So that is twofold. One, the education, helping them learn how to use it. So we've had staff that have been in the business for 20, 30 years, and everything was done by paper. And the challenge of getting away from paper and using the technology, and sometimes we find ourselves going back to paper. Let's do a brief huddle form. Let's do a 24-hour shift report. We have it on the computer. Let's do it on the computer instead of continuing to write it out. Oh, but it's so much easier. But it's easier for everyone to see and be able to make changes if we do it on the computer. So it's just giving them the education and the support that they need. Sometimes it is that they need a little bit of attention and help to learn how to use the technology. Not everybody did typing. Not everybody had classes like that. Now, the younger workforce is teaching us how to use some of our systems that we're like, we know how to use it for this and this. And they're like, wait, this system can do so much more. You can drop a shift. You can pick up a shift. You can do this. And I'm like, teach us all how to do it. So I think us being open that the younger workforce can pick things up quicker sometimes than we have been able to. And so using everybody's strengths and talents on the teams, we do have pairing up of staff, teaching staff, being able to help staff and adapt to making that change. I think that the fear is always going to be with technology that it's going to take something away, or it's going to take my job away, or I'm not going to be needed. And I think it just goes back to helping people understand the reason why we're using it. So we're using it to help better our services for the people that we take care of. We're not using it to eliminate someone's position. I think that when I think of checkouts at the grocery store and they have self-checkouts, they're like, oh, we're not going to have any checkers anymore. There still is a human element that needs to happen. And so when we take care of older adults, there's still that human piece, and a robot can't provide that human piece. Can it help us with one-on-ones? Sure. Can it help us to supplement the care and services? Absolutely. But is it going to be able to do all the things that we do as humans? It just won't be able to do that. It won't be able to provide that type of service. Just taking the fear away before you bring in the technology and just being able to openly communicate to staff prior to it occurring, it has really been the help and success in getting us into that mindset of this is to help better our services, not to take something from you that you can only provide.
Absolutely. I love that you say about the education piece. I think it's really easy to be hesitant and afraid of what might come with the new technology when you don't really understand how to use it very well, if it's not something you're already using, that kind of thing. And you could not have said it better about the younger generation teaching us how to do any and everything technology. My kids teach me every day something new on the phone.
Yes.
Or internet or something like that. So I agree, just having that open mindset that the younger folks really know a lot and can show us a lot of ways that we could even take it to the next step is so exciting. Thank you for joining us, Jennifer. This was a great chat. I loved hearing about all the different ways you guys are harnessing technology to make your facility better for your seniors.
Thank you.
The Long-Term Care Data Cooperative assembles residents' EHRs from the major specialty vendors and links with Medicare claims to create a comprehensive patient record. To participate in the Long-Term Care Data Cooperative, visit ltcdatacooperative.org. AHCA NCAL's Long-Term Care Trend Tracker is a web-based tool that enables long-term, post-acute, and assisted living care providers to benchmark personal metrics against those of their peers and examine ongoing quality improvement efforts. More information on this exclusive benefit for members can be found on the AHCA NCAL website. And Provider Magazine publishes articles about technology and innovation regularly. To read those, visit providermagazine.com, click on Topics from the black menu bar, and select Technology. Thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care. Join us each month as we discuss issues that impact the long-term and post-acute care profession. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Take care.